Welcome to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm Graham Richmond, and this is your wiretaps for Monday, November 30th, 2020. I'm joined by Alex Brown. Alex, how are things in England?
Very good, thank you, Graham. How was your Thanksgiving?
Ah, yes, Thanksgiving week, always fun. We had, most of the team was not really working Friday, so it's always a nice, like, long weekend. And we're recording this in advance, so it's a little weird to talk about it. But we, you know, Thanksgiving, it's one of my favorite holidays. I know it's not something you brought back to England when you left America. but I really enjoy Thanksgiving, actually, and kind of the whole, you know, the food and just the kind of getting together with family and stuff, which is a little different this year. Some of it had to be done, you know, via Zoom and stuff. But yeah, good. And I did want to say, I hope all our listeners had a really nice Thanksgiving if you celebrated.
Yeah.
Alex, did you, are you, I guess you're still, your pubs are not opening up anytime soon. Have they given you any indication as to, like, when you can get back out and about, or?
Yeah, it should be this week.
Okay.
All right. We're coming out of lockdown. We'll be in tier one, which is good for us.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I imagine we'll have some stuff going on here sort of a bit later this week. So that's very good. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good, especially with the holidays coming and stuff. So so this is kind of a weird time. You know, obviously Thanksgiving holiday last week, and we've got, you know, not a lot of schools do much around the Thanksgiving holiday, especially the American schools. So it's kind of quiet. But this week is the beginning of some real activity, right? What do we have to look forward to?
Yeah, I mean, internally, we call these decision weeks. And it begins this week for the next 2 to 3 weeks leading up to sort of the 20th of December or there and thereabouts. All the top tier schools, pretty much all of them anyway, release their round one decisions. So we tend to get a lot of activity on Livewire over the next 2 to 3 weeks as we see schools release those decisions. Upcoming this week should be Michigan Ross. They seem to have pushed their decision release deadline back 2 days from December 2nd to 4th.
Yeah.
But I still think that falls into this week. And I do believe also Booth at Chicago is scheduled to release decisions this week. And what listeners need to be careful of, and this is unique to sort of releasing the final decision, is whilst they might publish a specific date that the decisions will be released, because most schools like to preempt the news with a phone call rather than just do it all online to add that sort of more personal touch, some of those decisions will start rolling out potentially 1 to 2 days ahead of their scheduled release date. So, yeah, we should start seeing some phone calls reported over the next several days, Graham.
Yeah, and this is one of those things where I think for the applicants it's challenging, right? Because you kind of start to see phone calls going out, you know, people posting on Livewire saying, oh, I got a call, I'm in, and it's like a day or even 2 days before the official decision date, as you say. And that can be tricky. But in talking with admissions directors, when I've pointed this out and said, gee, you know, this creates some anxiety, you know, for candidates, most of the admissions officers I've spoken with say, this is like literally one of the best parts of my job is calling people and surprising them with the news. And so, you know, I don't know that that's going to go away anytime soon. There are some schools that the decisions come out and then they make phone calls. But you know, for the most part, a lot of schools are going to be making phone calls. So lots to look forward to.
Frankly, Graham, I used to enjoy that
time
also. So I can completely empathize with them when I was making those calls.
Yeah.
I will say, and I think I might have mentioned it one time on the podcast before, I did call up a candidate in Peru who'd already received their deny letter online, and we were actually planning to admit them. So that was a funny conversation, but that was many years ago. Schools don't do that anymore, I will say.
Nowadays, people aren't picking up the wrong stack of files to start making phone calls with.
No, I made the right phone call. For some reason, the database had signaled the wrong decision to the candidate. So, yeah, it was a little bit of a hiccup.
Yeah.
that I don't think occurs anymore.
Yeah, and when I was reading at Wharton, I remember there was a second year student who was a reader who left a set of files along with their backpack on the bus on the way home down into Center City, Philadelphia. And I don't know if those were ever recovered, but luckily they were printouts of the files so that stuff was recovered internally and duplicated. But yeah, these things are all, most schools are reading virtually now. So that's a good thing. One other thing I wanted to say is that, you know, I know it's hard to wait for these decisions. We have these chat rooms on the site that are open all the time. And so you can go to the chat rooms portion of our website and hang out with other candidates who are awaiting news. And I see that, you know, even in recent days, people are kind of already kind of speculating and chit-chatting as they kind of kill time waiting for news. I've seen the Harvard and MIT chat rooms in particular being a little bit busy. So hang out there if you want. You know, misery loves company if you're waiting and don't know what else to do. The other thing I wanted to mention is we've got a Real Humans that went out on the website for Darden at the University of Virginia. So read that if you're interested in that program. Some really nice interviews with current students there. And, you know, I actually discovered a review with a podcast, Alex, that I didn't share with you. I'm not sure. I don't think we've talked about it on the podcast, at least. It's a review that came in from Canada. And as a result, it flew under the radar because due to some kind of glitch, like we don't see the non-US-based reviews, it seems. So this this review that we got, it calls the podcast an excellent resource. And it says, I am very impressed with the work that Graham, Alex, and the Clear Admit team put into this podcast week in and week out. I find that hearing from the experts makes the overall application process far less daunting, especially for those of us on a less traditional MBA path. Keep up the great work. I look forward to listening every week. So that's from Canuck1426 via Apple Podcast Canada. So nice. That came in a while ago, but it flew under the radar. So we really appreciate that. And then one other thing before we get into this week's candidates that you've handpicked, and I actually had a chance to go through in detail, and I'm really looking forward to talking about these candidates because they all have kind of issues that we need to tackle. But before we do that, I just wanted to remind people that if you want to sort LiveWire data and look at scatter plots and better understand your chances and how things look from school to school, we have this data dashboard. It's a paid thing, but it's only $20 for a month or $50 for the entire admission season. So please sign up for that. It's a great way to support Clear Admit and all the work we do with the wires. So check out the data dashboard if you can. Alex, let's dive in. You picked out three ApplyWire entries for this episode. And, you know, I think there's some common themes. We'll see how they emerge. But anything else that you wanted to share this week before we kind of dive in?
No, let's get going.
All right, so this is Wiretap's candidate number one. So this person has seven schools on the target list, and they don't want to start business school until the fall of 2022. So they're a little bit, they have some time. They've been working in wine e-commerce. They are based in Manila in the Philippines. And after business school, they're hoping to get into consulting or maybe even tech. And the companies they listed as targets are Bain BCG, Deloitte, and Microsoft. This person has a 760 on the GMAT and a 2.88 GPA. And they've been working for 2.5 years. It'll be a bit more than that, obviously, by the time they matriculate. And they mentioned that they love the podcast and that listening to the podcast made them want to sort of chime in on the wires. And, you know, essentially they're doing digital platform management for a wine startup in the Philippines. It's kind of a high impact role, but it's kind of a small company. And prior to that, they were in a leadership development program at a regional bank. So that's kind of the basic background. They gave us a lot more information in their post, and you had some back and forth with them. But what do you make of this candidate? I mean, for me, the thing that jumped out is the GPA and the non-traditional kind of background. But what's your take on this candidate, Alex?
Yeah, I thought this podcast put this candidate to sleep.
Yes. Oh, I totally, yes. Okay. I forgot to mention, and I wasn't sure how to take this. They said, I just came back from listening to a bunch of wiretaps. In my case, I do it an hour before I sleep. It's oddly relaxing to hear you guys talk. So I think that's like a polite way of them saying that we actually put them to sleep at night. So I don't know what to make of that, Alex. Like, I feel like, you know, not something I would normally tout. Say, this podcast will put you to sleep. You know, I don't know if we can advertise with that slogan.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, no, it's very good, very good. Yeah. And we try to make some funny remarks, but we do appreciate anybody that actually does listen to these podcasts. So So no, that's excellent. I very interested in this candidate, Graham. For a start, they've got a 760 GMAT, so clearly they're wicked smart. Obviously, the GPA is a bit of an Achilles heel for them.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, if you've got a 760 GMAT, you should be getting a 3.8 GPA or something if it's going to be equivalent, right? So they're going to have to explain, add some context there in terms of explaining the GMAT. And I think, correctly, they're planning to take some additional coursework. So I really like that. Be proactive. Don't let the ADCOM make assumptions that you are not going to be committed to the academic piece of the programme. So taking additional coursework is absolutely fantastic. They've got another year before they apply, so they've got some time to strengthen that area of the candidacy. So go all in and do it. They're working at a wine startup. That could go either way, I think. That could be really, really cool, or it could be okay, depending on the specific role in marketing that they have, their impact, how they've been able to be part of the team that's grown this business. Frankly, I mean, I might be a bit biased, but one, I like wine, so therefore it should be a good business. But actually, there's a really interesting brand called, I think it's called Tastry, that started off as a e-commerce platform for wine. And basically, they have a really clever way of using machine learning to match wine to tastes. So you create a taste profile and so on and so forth. Anyway, it's really super interesting. And I think if this business is doing something similar to that, they're engaged in that, they're doing something super interesting, that could be really, really, really quite cool. If they're not, doesn't mean to say it's not cool, but... I have a bit of an affinity for that particular brand because I've read a lot about it. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in machine learning anyway and so on and so forth. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think there are really good elements to this candidacy. They've got to overcome this GPA. The GMAT clearly signals that they're super smart. So doing that extra coursework, Graham, is going to be super helpful to them, I would think.
Yeah, I would say, I don't think I mentioned it at the top here, but the schools they have on their list are, you know, Cornell, Dartmouth, Duke, Michigan, Kellogg, Stanford, and Darden. So they, as they correctly described, they said, oh, I'm kind of targeting 8 to 15 kind of range schools ranking-wise, but and plus Stanford.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm mentioning that is because I think it's relevant when you think about the GPA and the fact that a lot of these top schools, you know, they don't take that many candidates who don't cross that 3.0 barrier with the GPA. So it's a liability, right? But as you correctly point out, if this person does what they say, which is take extension classes, take classes from UCLA or Berkeley Extension, it sounds like they've already figured this out. They're going to take some maybe calculus and statistics. If they get A's in those courses, I think they can begin to mitigate the GPA a bit. I do think, you know, they're still going to need to cast a wide net. You know, this list of schools seems pretty good. I did have some questions, though, about this candidacy. And I think they do come back to, a lot of it comes back to work experience. Because I feel like the GPA, it is what it is. They're going to do what they can to address it. They've got a stellar GMAT, as you point out. And so it comes down to work experience. And I was wondering, they were in a leadership development program for a bank. And so I wondered, like, what happened there? Like, how did they end up in wine e-commerce from the bank? And it could be they did their 2 years in the leadership development program, and they did, you know, it was really educational for them. They got exposure to a lot of different areas, but in the end, they didn't want to stay, and they wanted to do something entrepreneurial. So they joined, you know, this startup. That's a storyline. It could be that, I don't know, I mean, if you look at it from a negative standpoint, it could be that, I don't know, maybe they didn't complete the leadership development program, or maybe they weren't selected to move on. There's all kinds of things that I would want to know. And the reason is because I presume that their recommendations would likely be one from the wine startup and one from their bank or something. So just important to keep in mind. I wanted answers to that. And I feel like they did also mention that they've got some decent extracurriculars, and they also indicated they intend to be active in the LGBT community. So there's a box they can tick as well when they're applying, you know, as a member of the LGBT community. So that gives them a bit of an edge too. So I think that there's like plenty here to work with and to like. As you said, you know, the e-commerce side of the wine business is interesting. It's unique as well in terms of, you know, there aren't that many candidates with this type of profile, but they've got this GPA issue to kind of overcome. So it's going to take a really strong storyline and set of applications, in my view, for them to make the cut at the schools on their list, especially Stanford.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And just to wrap things up, I would say a couple of other points. One, they're a very good writer, or at least they claim to be a very good writer, and they've written some, you know, very eloquent stuff in their notes section to sort of back that up. So that's very good. I do like the idea of applying to Stanford. Even if it is just to tackle and wrestle with that first essay, I think anybody that has another year to apply, as does this candidate, why not wrestle with Stanford's first essay? I don't care who you are, that's going to do you a lot of good.
Sure.
As you know, Graham, I'm a big fan of that essay, and I think I've mentioned it before on this podcast on several occasions. So great strategy for doing that on this candidate's part, I think. And just the final thing, they were super busy in undergrad in terms of extracurriculars and that, in terms of adding some context of why the GPA was lower. Unfortunately, whilst that does add context, you can't rely on that as an excuse, because you're going to be expected to be super busy in your MBA. So, you know, there's going to be a wine club, there's going to be you know, a club for this, that and the other, and you're going to want to be participating and taking on these leadership roles. So so whilst that is important, that you come across as someone that's going to be really active in the MBA experience, it cannot come at the cost of the educational component of the MBA experience. So just absolutely bear that in mind. But again, with a 760 GMAT, this person is super smart.
Yeah, agreed. I think, so they have some things to work on, but I love the fact that they're not applying just yet. So they have time to kind of really get things, get their ducks in a row. All right, let's move on. I did want to thank them for posting, and as you said, for sharing their feedback on the podcast. I guess we should wish them sweet dreams, as they're probably drifting off to sleep as they listen. All right, so let's move on and talk about Wiretap's candidate number two. So this candidate has also seven schools on the list. They are Columbia, Harvard, LBS, MIT, Chicago, UCLA, and Yale. They want to start this coming fall, so 2021. This person is an elite gymnastics coach. That's their current job. And post-MBA, they're thinking consulting or maybe starting their own thing. And for some of the companies that they're targeting, they've got A.T. Kearney, Bain, Deloitte, Ernst & Young, McKinsey. GMAT score 660, and their GPA is a 3.64. They've got 3 years of work experience and are located in Tacoma, Washington. They mention in the notes, as I kind of indicated, they are an elite gymnastics coach. They have a master's in education in athletic administration, and they also have coaching experience at the NCAA level. They currently coach former junior and national team members, and they have had, you know, recently had an athlete signed with Stanford. So they have, you know, they're kind of basically a gymnastics business with an American Olympian that basically runs gymnastics programs and clinics focused on helping athletes develop skills through gymnastics that are transferable to life outside of the gym. So they, you know, it sounds like they're, you know, there's really niche kind of career, right? And they mention in the notes that they want to kind of expand beyond that and have a larger kind of impact. So what do you make of this candidate? Because, I mean, obviously, like the first candidate where we had a low GPA, so kind of an academic weakness, here we've got a decent GPA but a pretty low GMAT score given the school list. So what do you make of this candidate?
Quick thing back to you, Graham. Once in a while, or at least each admission season, Stanford, Harvard, Wharton, and you can name the schools, they let in people with GMATs lower than this, right?
Of course. Yeah, there's always going to be a few.
Yeah.
Yep.
And quite frankly, why not this guy?
Yeah.
And I say that because this is the sort of person who may well get into a very top school with a mediocre GMAT mm-hmm. score. Why is that? Well, they have a super interesting profile. So their ability to add to the academic environment and the learning environment during the MBA program is going to be pretty high, I would imagine. They just got very different experiences, super interesting experiences, and so forth. And what I also really like about this candidate, their long term, I want to leverage my youth athletics experience and future consulting experience to create national and international platforms for youth athletes to use sport as a vehicle for personal development. Now, that's quite a long sort of tongue-twisting sentence, but the reason why I really like it is they're not planning just to leave gymnastics and leave that industry, but they're planning to go off, do an MBA, get some consulting experience, i.e. get that business stuff sort of really squared away from an intellectual and then a practical standpoint, mm-hmm. and then return to this industry and make a big impact. So I got to think that that's super, super cool. Having said all that, the person clearly plans to retake the GMAT. And please don't not do that, because I said you're going to get in with a 660, because that would be ridiculous. Yeah. And we don't know you would get in. I just think you're the sort of candidate that might get in with a 660. But the point is, if this, the 660 in my book is, you know, if you look at the overall profile, everything that the admissions committee is going to be looking at, that's the outlier. That's the weak point. For any candidate, if you have an outlier, if you have a weak point and you can strengthen that weak point, it raises everything. So if this candidate comes back and let's say they've got a 700 plus, they've got a 364 GPA, they've got a master's degree, they're an elite gymnastics coach, they're this, they're that, it's like, wow, absolutely fantastic. We've got to interview this person. Then it's up to the interview to carry this candidacy to the final decision. So at this point, that's what you're kind of doing, right? You're trying to make sure you get that interview at the very, very top schools. Graham, I love this candidate. I wish them the absolute best in retaking the GMAT. Bump it up. But I got to think that the ADCOM readers are going to be excited to meet with this person.
Yeah, I agree. I would say it sounds to me like this person should be able to eke out some points on the verbal side based on they gave us their splits and stuff. So, and they were a poli-sci and human rights kind of major and stuff. So you would think that they could eke out some points there. And, you know, they have some quant classes on the undergraduate transcript with decent grades. So I like this candidate. I think what was interesting to me is one of the folks in the Clear Admit community who commented on the profile said, I would love to have you as a classmate, you know, cause so it's obviously there's this like instant appeal in having someone from a different domain who can kind of share a different point of view.
But they did also say they're a gymnastics fan. And I think those folks are about as rare as horse racing fans. So, I mean, nothing against gymnasts, but I, having worked in the horse racing industry for several years myself, I recognize the you know, some of the issues you face when you do work in a very niche sports industry.
Yeah, that makes sense. I mean, the other thing I was thinking about is I, like you, was struck by the desire of this candidate to return to their you know, roots with the long-term goal. I was less taken with the consulting short-term goal, and I feel like this is like 2 weeks in a row where I'm critiquing someone for a short-term goal of consulting, but I wondered, you know, so many candidates who graduate from business school go off and work at companies like, you know, Nike or Patagonia, or, I mean, there are companies in the kind of sports apparel domain that are hiring MBAs. And I was like, oh, maybe, you know, maybe do something in that domain where you could get involved with Nike and one of their programs to train athletes, or, you know, doing similar work to what this person ultimately wants to do in the long term, you know, all the kind of footwear companies. And so that was just something I wanted to plant the seed on. And I think I've been influenced by a conversation I had with Eric Johnson, who's the executive director of career services at Indiana Kelley School. He's a really interesting guy. And if you guys haven't listened to that podcast that we did on your career path that I did with Eric, tune in, because I learned a lot about what candidates are doing. And he was just pointing out how, you know, everyone has Apple and Amazon and McKinsey on their list when they come to business school. But then there are a lot of people who go off and work at Nike or you know, Patagonia or other, you know, companies that are out there that, you know, maybe aren't on everybody's list at the start. So I just want to encourage this person to think broadly about what they might do post MBA. But otherwise, yeah, I feel like things are, you know, hopefully that GMAT, you know, comes up a bit and then they can just write their ticket. They have a really compelling story to tell.
Yeah, absolutely agree. Yeah.
So, all right. So let's move on and talk about the third candidate for this week. So this is Wiretap's candidate number three. So here we have a candidate applying to six schools. They are Columbia, NYU, Stanford, UCLA, USC, and Yale. And they want to start next fall. This person's pre-MBA career has been in entertainment and education. And post-MBA, they're thinking about maybe nonprofit, social impact, or potentially entertainment stuff as well. GRE score is a 320, and that's with an even split, I believe, of 160 in each section. GPA is a 3.9 from a solid undergraduate institution. I know that they actually noted somewhere in the comments where what the kind of rough ranking of the school was, but it's a decent school. They have 3 years of work experience, and those 3 years are comprised of, it's sort of been a mix, but it's been, they've done teaching and traveling abroad to teach. So this person is a music teacher right now and had to travel to do that as well. I think they mentioned they spent some time in Italy. But then that was kind of their first year. And then they've had 2 years working with a music startup and then doing private teaching, like music lessons on the side. So, and the music startup's growing. It sounds kind of interesting. And I guess the last thing I should say is that their undergraduate degree was basically in arts management and music. And so they did get some exposure to like economics, entrepreneurship, policy, stuff like that. Alex, this is another, like the gymnast, this is another sort of non-traditional candidate. I feel like next week we'll have to have all bankers and consultants or something. But this candidate, what do you make of this candidate? Because it's we don't see many music teachers applying to business school.
Yeah, no, again, super interesting. I mean, quite frankly, that's what I like about ApplyWire. I mean, not as many bankers or consultants perhaps need this sort of kind of advice and feedback and so forth. So to the extent that we're getting more and more non-traditional candidates reaching out to us for these types of conversations, I think it's absolutely fantastic. I'm a big believer in the value of the MBA sort of across a lot of industries and a lot of disciplines. So I think it's absolutely brilliant. And yeah, this week it is, you know, we've got a couple of real significant non-traditional candidates, and even the wine guy is, you know, working at a wine startup's definitely not as common as some of the more popular industries. So I think it's absolutely fantastic. I think for this candidate, what will be super interesting is the startup experience. Graham, I'm trying to get my head around it. Is this teaching, but for a for-profit startup company? Is that what you're thinking this experience is, or is this person doing something different in this startup domain?
Oh yeah, so my understanding is that so first, when they graduated from college, they went, you know, they traveled and went abroad and were basically pursuing their music kind of career and teaching and things. But then the last 2 years they've been working for a music startup, which I think is, they don't really specify like what the music startup does, but I don't believe that it's necessarily related to teaching. And in fact, I think they mentioned that their role, at least with this company, is that they do operations and social media, as well as like nonprofit outreach for the company. So I think it's not necessarily, and then they mentioned they're teaching on the side, like that's their side gig, I guess, to, you know, pay the bills and make more money and stuff. But I don't know what the music startup does. It could be online teaching. It could be something different too. I don't know.
Yeah. No, very good. So I think the experience with the startup and their operations experience or whatever it might be can add an additional element to their candidacy. So it'd be interesting to see how they're able to portray and show their impact at the startup and how they've been able to influence and sort of, you know, help that startup sort of move through the early stages of its life, I guess, because if it's a startup, it's just gotten going, right? That's the sort of definition of a startup. Mm-hmm. So this is very interesting. Their GPA is a 3.9, Again, much like our gymnast, this is a very interesting and very different non-traditional type of candidate. So if they can really show, which I think the gymnast can, if this person also can really show impact wherever they've been, whether it's through teaching, if you're a teacher, you're able to impact your students, right? So teaching is actually a very good example of being able to do that. But if they can show impact also within the startup domain, then I think that really would help them also. I think that this could be an interesting candidate. They're obviously wanting to sort of broaden their horizons and go into sort of media and entertainment industry a bit more broadly. That's interesting in of itself. I mean, that does sort of make them want to then target schools in LA and New York, which makes perfect sense. So obviously they've thought about that. I like the fact that they've actually picked the right schools that focus on media and entertainment. They want media and entertainment and non-profit. So I was like, well, Yale should be in the mix there too, potentially. And yes, Yale's in the mix too. So yeah, they've obviously done their homework in that regard. So that works out really well, Graham. The 320 GMAT is not ideal, but, you know, it's within range. But yeah, let me turn it back to you.
Yeah, I was just going to say that, first of all, I believe that that you're right about this, like, GRE issue, right? It's kind of, it's in the ballpark, as I like to say, but it's not going to jump off the page in the way that their 3.9 does. And so given that, you know, it really depends on what schools we're talking about on their list. You know, they have, you know, Stanford on their list, right? And they've got Columbia. But then they also have USC, which maybe has a slightly lower threshold on the GRE side of things. So they have some range. And they do mention they're taking the GRE again, and they think that they can bump up the quant score. And so that could be great. I mean, if they're able to boost that score and get into the, you know, even 323 or 325, like, suddenly a lot of doors begin to open and it's less of a liability. With that said, I mean, it's possible they could get in with the existing score. I just want to make sure that they're pushing to get this done. They mentioned they might delay some apps because of that. Like, they might not get them all in. And I would sort of say, you know what, get in your apps in round two, and then, you know, if you need to alert the schools that a new GRE score is coming and that they'll have it within a couple weeks of you applying, then so be it. They'll actually take note of that in most cases. So
yeah,
that's my take. The other thing I wanted to mention with school selection is I'm going to disagree with you just slightly. I think that they have some of the schools in, you know, New York and LA that you would expect to see, given those schools' propensity to place people in, you know, media and entertainment. But there were a couple of schools that were not on the list that I thought might actually be good ones to consider. And again, some of this might depend on how that GRE retake turns out or how bold they want to be. But, you know, HBS, Berkeley, Kellogg, and Wharton all have very good track records in terms of sending people into media and entertainment. And so it was interesting to me that none of those were on the list. And it could be that this person's saying, well, you know, Harvard and Wharton are just really hard to get into, but they have Stanford on the list. So I had a hard time figuring out, like, how are they, what's the best way to pare this list down? Because they have a lot of schools here, right? And you can't apply to 10 or 15 schools. But it did occur to me that they may want to throw their hat in the ring on at least one of these others, if anything, to kind of bridge that gap between Stanford and some of the other schools on their list right now, because these other options would sort of fill in the gap, right? So
Right. Anyway,
something to think about. But I do really like this candidate. And they did mention that, I guess I had written a comment and this candidate wrote back saying, your podcast with Alex has been very helpful, especially since this is all new to me. So that goes to your point about non-traditionals maybe really benefiting from ApplyWire. But anyway, appreciate that feedback. Any other thoughts on this candidate? I think, you know, basically what he or she needs to do is, you know, ideally boost the GRE if they can and have a really great, you know, story, which I feel like is coming together for them. They already seem to know, you know, the path they want. But this is compelling to me. I like the candidacy.
Yeah, I do too. I think it's going to be really important for this candidate to really show that impact that they've had. And that's the same for every candidate. But I think for non-traditional candidates, that's sometimes a bit harder for, for folks to do to sort of get their head around doing that. So making sure
yeah.
that they are able to show their impact both at their startup experience as well as, you know, their general teaching experience. I think that will be very important. I think your point in terms of just don't delay some apps to round three, please, at all costs, be targeting round two. Last season was a complete anomaly caused by the COVID-19 pandemic, where some late applications were, you know, allowed people to get into top tier business schools. That it was an absolute anomaly. You really need to be in rounds one and two to give yourself a real fair shot at the best schools. In under more normal circumstance, and you know, thankfully with the vaccine developments that we're seeing now, things hopefully should start to return to normal over the next several months. So yeah, rounds one and two is what you need to target. And as Graham pointed out, if you're going to retake a test, and in this case the GRE, and you can only schedule it after the deadline, then absolutely still get it in round two and make a note in your application that the test will be forthcoming on a specific date and so on and so forth. But yeah, no, I agree with you, Graham. And, you know, I think we've got three really super interesting candidates this week, none of which are slam dunks because of one or two issues. But nevertheless, all three could absolutely be viable at the very best.
Yeah, agreed. Very interesting. I'm glad that you picked these out. And they had some nice things to say about our show, but also just, you know, really unique kind of backgrounds. One thing I should mention for our listeners, if you do need to make a statement about a forthcoming test or any like sort of odds and ends that you want to alert the committee to, that's, you can use the optional essay, and it doesn't have to be long.
Yeah.
Just because you're writing the optional essay doesn't mean it has to be an essay. It could be like a paragraph in which you say, I'm not satisfied with my GRE score. I think that I underperformed in the quant section. I'm retaking the test on date X, and I will furnish you with a score as soon as it's available. Like, it's that simple. You know, it doesn't have to be a long thing. So again, Alex, thanks for picking these out. We'll be back in 1 week's time. I did want to ask people to rate and review this podcast. I feel like we haven't had many ratings. So just, you know, that doesn't take much, right? I know writing a review, you got to think it through, but just, you know, tap the stars and stuff and rate our ratings.
Graham, you got to ask these call outs at the beginning of the podcast because people would be asleep
That's
by
now. Anyway, we'll be back in 1 week's time when I promise to bug you to rate and review at the beginning of the episode. All right. Thanks, Alex.
Very good. Stay safe, everyone, and good luck.